Okay, we had a good Sunday school lesson this morning. That's because I didn't teach, so. So, what does it mean? Let's start off here. What does it mean to have a willful service for God? Meaning we're excited about, something that we're willing to do, something that God desires us to do, and we desire to do that for Him. So in order to be able to function in this manner, then we have to understand what are the characteristics of my service unto God. Now, when I speak, I'm going to give you some of those characteristics, but when we talk about these characteristics, this is our willingness, how we act in turn when it comes to what God wants us to do in our life. So the first thing it's voluntary. It has to be voluntary in order for it to be willful. It has to be obedient. We have to be committed. We have to be devoted. We have to be, and this is a big one here, we have to be thankful. If we're not thankful, then we're just not going to participate in what God has for us to do in our life. So it our heart must focus on striving toward perfection in Christ. This is what the Word of God teaches us. So no matter where we are or what we are doing, we're always striving for that perfection in Christ. So that means that we have to choose to live a life according to the principles of His Word. That's the choices that we make. Now, we choose to do this with no regret, okay? Understand me there, with no regret, and we're not going to look at it as something that was forced upon us. Oh boy, it's Sunday morning. I had to get up and go to church again. See, we don't look at it that way because it is not forced upon us. So it means that we maintain our faith in Christ, and we maintain our faith through the trials, the tests, the tribulations that come upon us in our life. We maintain that faith regardless of the situation or circumstance that we are in. Doesn't matter what is going on within our life, we maintain our faith in Christ. So it is the power of God in our life that brought us into salvation, that keeps us in our salvation, that helps us to make the decisions and choices in our life through the leadership and the guidance of the indwelling Holy Spirit. No matter how hard these choices may seem, no matter, even if we don't feel like doing it, if God wants us to do it, then we have a willing devotion to do it. And we have a willing desire to do it in our life. So, is it easy? Is it always easy? No, it's never easy. And we never see it as being easy, these choices that we must make. So, even though we know that God's way is always the best way, we don't always follow God's way. So then that means we're not always doing it the best way because we're not following after what God wants us to do in our life. So another thing is, if our willfulness is weak, meaning if our faith is weak, a weak-willed person will always struggle in making the decision to follow after God, because we just don't have the willpower to do it. Have you ever woke up? Am I saying that right? Woke up or awakened of a morning, however you say it, and just thought, well, I just don't want to get out of bed today. And if you don't get enough willpower, then you'll not get out of bed. And we have kids that are 40 years old that are like that. So we have two options, okay? Two options in our life in Christ. So we can either choose to serve God or we can choose to serve ourselves. So the first one is, if we choose to serve God, it requires a strong will. It requires a strong devotion, a strong, all of these, it requires being obedient, committed, devoted, all these things, these characteristics that we talked about. But if we choose to serve ourselves, that requires no will at all, because we're just following after the pathway of worldliness that is set before us in our life. We just simply give in to the world. Requires no strength. So these are the lustful desires that we have. So even though our will is our own, and we've talked about this before, because God gave us that opportunity to be able to choose in our life. So even though our will is our own, it was given to us as our own, but it was given to us as our own so that we might choose to make God's will our will and nothing else. But yet, we use it for everything else other than what God wants us to use it for. So I'm going to give you, before we get into the scripture that I want to get into today, I'm going to go back in Luke chapter 6. Verse 45, and I'm going to give you, Christ taught this. This is a parable he taught, and he taught this concerning the two choices that I was just talking about. So Luke chapter 6, and it's verses, I got 45 through 40. I think we're just going to read verse 45, and these are the two choices that he talks about. And he was talking to his disciples, and he said, this is the first choice. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth what? Bringeth forth that which is good. So he's talking about the believer doing the things that God wants him to do. We're in this relationship with God, this willful, devoted, obedient relationship with God. We're following after God's desires as our desires. And this is the goodness that comes forth from us. But he says, here's the second choice. He said, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Okay, so those are the two choices. Now, here's what he goes on to say. Out of the abundance, you know, because sometimes we don't know what choices we're making. We don't know if we're doing good. We don't know if we're doing evil, because sometimes with the evil things that we're doing, we portray them as good. Well, Lord's not punishing me for it, so he must be okay with it. So we're portraying that. We don't know. So here's what he says. Out of the abundance of, this clarifies it right here. Out of the abundance of the heart is what comes out of the mouth, or what we show forth from within. So it's whatever, this is what people see. Whether you think you're doing good or whether you think you're doing evil, because you're some things that we do, we say, oh, they can't really be evil. But whatever people sees, they're seeing what's going on in the heart. So when they see it, they're making a determination whether they think that it's good or it's bad. So everything that we do needs to be done as being pleasing unto God. So that means that our willful actions, and you know, every action that you do is a reaction from whatever's going on within. So it's willful. You have you ever said, oh, I done that. I didn't mean to do that. I tell my wife all the time, well, I really didn't mean that way. How many of you is with me on that? Nobody else is raising their hand. So, but everything that we do is a willful action, and it's a direct reflection of our inner character. It's a direct reflection of our spiritual condition. So, and this is what determines the quality of our life, is the things or the actions that we do. So for this reason then, God, through his word, encourages us to evaluate. He always wants us to evaluate the state of our spiritual being, not your life. If we evaluated our life, we'd never, but your spiritual being. How close are we in our relationship with God? Because if we can't see that we're always in need of this continual inner transformation, this transformation that can only come by faith through our relationship with God. So we've got to see that we need this in our life in order that the things that flows from within to without every day in our life is something that is glorifying God, things that are pleasing unto God. So and in this, let's get to the point. Don't ever consider that we are without sin, Even if you're having a really good day, that's when Satan's going to come against you in the sneakiest manner to get you to do something that's not pleasing unto God. So let's never consider ourselves to be without sin, but let's be realistic in our life, and let's make sure that those things that we are allowing to influence our life, that it is, that the responsibility that we take from it, it is a responsibility that we're always going to be in a willing service unto God. Everything that we do, we want to do as a willing service unto God. So we're going to stay in Luke. Just jump right on over with me to the 22nd chapter. And we're going to start with verse 39. I thought I turned that thing. Is anybody else hot? Just me? Huh? Jim's hot. Okay, the 22nd chapter, starting with verse 39. And here's what it says. And he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, listen to this, Father, if thou be willing, okay? This is how Christ, this was his willful service unto God. He asked God what his will was before he done it. So he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But if not, nevertheless, it's not my will. Have we ever said that? Lord, what is your willful service to me? And God tells us, and we say, we don't like that. We're going to choose something else. But Christ didn't do that. He said, Father, not my will, but it's thy will that must be done. And then it said, there appeared as an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. See what happens when you choose the will of God, then we have all of these things at our disposal, that God gives unto us at our disposal to help us through the trials, the tribulations, the temptations, everything that is going on in our life. So he said, at that very moment when he chose God's will, he said, the angels came unto him from heaven and began strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And Diane read this in your Sunday school lesson this morning. Is it was as his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping. So they weren't doing the will of God. He found them sleeping, and he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So one of the things that we see here is when we are not in the will of God, we are subsequently, temptation will come upon us. And probably temptation will overcome us, and temptation turns into what? Sin. So Christ taught us, it was his example, so you can't say that somebody else tried to teach me this. Christ himself tried to teach us this by example, how not to surrender to our personal desires. Because our personal desires are worldly desires. God, Christ would rather us surrender to the divine purpose of God. So in order to do this, then there has to be obedience. And it has to be a truthful obedience. Not one of these things where, oh, Lord, when I get time, I'll try and do whatever it is it says for me to do in your word. No, a truthful obedience is exactly what Christ said. That it nevertheless, it's not my will, but it's thy will that has to be done. So this is what strengthens our relationship with God when we humble ourselves and we follow after the things that God has for us in our life. So even though Christ, if you remember, Christ came upon this earth. He went through all the things that we went through, but he done it. Christ did not inherit the worldly emotions that we did from Adam. Christ did not have that in his life. But nevertheless, he still showed us what could happen through those inherited worldly emotions. So, and he showed us that just as he requested, see, there's a difference. When Christ requested relief, he already knew he was going to follow after the will of the Father. When we request relief, we should already know that we need to follow after the will of God because he's the one, but we're trying. Oh, it's like when your kids come to you and say, oh, if you'll do this, I'll behave for the rest of the day. Or if you'll give me this, or if you'll, see, we request relief. We know that we need to follow God's will, but we still try anyhow because we think in some way that we are going to change God's mind. And we are never, never, ever going to change God's mind. So when we get over that, throwing that little tantrum or whatever it is that we do, then God is ready to help us to maintain our faith. He's ready to help us to stay right there where he wants us to be, to follow after his will, because all things are possible with God. And we know that in our life. So even when we think there is no other way, everything is possible with God. So just as Christ did, we should not seek to remove ourselves from the appointed responsibility that God has given unto us, but every day we try to get out of it. God gives us something to do, we try to get out of it. I got the sniffles today. I better stay home. I'm sick. I don't want to give it to anybody. See, that's our excuse. Oh, Lord, I'm thinking about everybody else. I'm not worried about myself. I'm thinking about everybody else. So there's excuse after excuse after excuse because we're trying to get out of that responsibility that God has given unto us. So we should not always be trying to do that in our life. We were brought into this world for a reason. And the only way that we're going to accomplish that is by following after our willful service to God. So here, let's go to Ephesians real quick. Here's what Paul, he was teaching the church at Ephesus. Here's what he said. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 6. He said, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." So how does that come across sometimes to people around us? They're just doing that to make them happy because they don't want to deal with them. Or they're just doing that to make them happy because they want something from them. He says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men." So everything that we do, and when he says not unto men, he's talking about the world around us. So everything that we do, when we serve the world around us, I can guarantee you it's not with sincerity. There's always something in the back of our mind that we're thinking we're going to get out of it. But when we serve God, it is with sincerity because God has already given us everything. There's nothing else that God could give us that we should want. So we serve the Lord with sincerity. That means with a heart that is completely devoted unto God, because this is the work that we have been called to do, our service to Christ. So this means that every effort that we put forth, so let me ask you this before I say this, is every effort that we put forth for Christ, is it consistent? And I mean, is it consistent with our obedience to the Word of God? Or how many times when we're putting forth that effort, does it change every time? Well, I've done it for this, or I've done it for that, it's not consistent. God said our efforts for Him should be, we shouldn't just be going through the motions, which a lot of times we do, but we a lot of times we just go through the motions because we want somebody to acknowledge it. All them people, they came to church faithfully every Sunday. Their name was in the, they got a star by their name. One of these days you're going to take that paper to the Lord and say, look how many stars I got, God. And he's going to say, I don't care about that piece of paper. Because we were just going through the motions. So God wants to make sure that everything that we do, it's working towards a purpose and not our own purpose, but his purpose. Our responsibility is to God. So every day in our life, then we work in his service to him because we want this transformation to continue in our life. We want to make sure that everything that we do is going to glorify and honor God. So every action we do with a positive, voluntary attitude. We don't do it, the Bible says, not to do it grudgingly or of necessity, but we do it because of our willing devotion unto God. So that means when we get to this point in our life, then God can look and say, okay, they are no longer being servants of man, but they are truly being servants of my son, Jesus Christ. So in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, Diane almost read some of these scriptures in Sunday school class. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 23, here's what he said. And whatsoever ye do, listen to this, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, so the preacher will notice. And when he gets up in church, he'll bring you to everybody's attention and say, oh, look what a good person they are. I don't think that's what that says. Do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord, from God, is where you're going to receive the reward of your inheritance. He said, because it's the Lord Jesus Christ that you serve. So let me make this statement. The greater our faith, the stronger our spiritual maturity, the closer our relationship to God. None of that had anything to do with man. Did you hear that? The greater our faith in the Lord, the stronger our spiritual maturity in the Lord becomes, the closer we are in our relationship with God. It's all about what motivates us to move away from the temporary worldly benefits, the lustful desires, to an outcome to where everything now that we do, we are seeking after those things that have eternal value. Nothing of value in the world. If you need something in the world, if you need a car, if you need a house, if you need food on your table, if you need clothes on your back, what do you do about that? You go to the Lord and you talk to the Lord about it. And you say, Lord, and God says, I know your need and I will supply those needs. But first of all, let's work on your faith, your spiritual maturity, your relationship with me, so that I know that you are completely trusting in me for all of those things in your life. And then I will supply those things unto you. And the reason that he wants us to do that as believers is because everybody else in the world is watching to see how you react to the situation or the circumstance that you're going through. So if you needed money and you didn't trust in the Lord and you went out and robbed the bank to get money, the reaction of the world around you isn't going to be very good. But if you trusted in the Lord and people seen that God supplied those needs, then the reaction of the people around you is going to be something positive because they seen that the first place that we turned for the things that were going on in our life was to the Lord. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, here's what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Let me read this. Short verse. Therefore you eat or you drink, doesn't matter what you do, here's what he says. We do it all to the glory of God. We do it all for our service to God. We do it all because of our relationship with God. We don't put limitation. You know, when you turn to anything but God, we're putting limitations upon those things in our life, because the world is limited in how that it can react to the situations and circumstances that are going on in your life. So we do not mix righteousness with worldliness. Whenever we begin to mix righteousness and worldliness, I can tell you, it compromises our relationship with God, and God is not pleased because of it. Let's go back into the book of Lamentations. Let me read you something back there. Lamentations. Can y'all find that? Took me a while to find it the other night, sir. Lamentations chapter 3. It's in the Old Testament. Lamentations chapter 3. Let me read you verses 40 and 41. And when we're looking at this, see, God was talking to the prophet Jeremiah, and this was something that he encouraged Jeremiah to give to the children of Israel. And here's what he said in verse 40 and 41. He says, "Let us search and try our ways." Okay, now, when you read this, let me read the rest of that verse. "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." So what does that tell you? When we searched and tried our ways, it wasn't God's ways. Because he automatically said, "Let us search and try our way." So anytime that God is trying to get us to look at our life, see the status of the life that we live, then it's probably because we're not following after him and we need to turn back to him. So he told that to Jeremiah. He said, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." Now, he said what? Turn again to the Lord. So this isn't the first time this happened. He said, turn again. So this has happened many times. And he said, when you do, he said, "Let us lift up our heart and with our hands unto the God in heaven." Meaning, when you search and you allow God to try your ways, when you turn back to God, then make sure it's God is the one you're thankful to. Make sure God is the one that you're glorifying for it. Not you know, a lot of times God supplies our needs, we give the world credit. But we should never give the world credit for anything. Even if God supplied your needs through the world, we still don't give the world credit. We give the credit to God. And a lot of times we don't do that in our life. So we must learn to assess the actions, the things that we're going through or doing in our life. We must learn to assess them according to God's standards. So that means when your need is ready to be supplied, let's go to the Word of God and say, "God, is this just a temporary fix that I'm so excited that I want to happen that I'm following after something in the world? Or is this truly some..." You know, when God fixes something, he fixes it permanently. So that means if you need food on your table tomorrow and God fixes it, there'll be food on your table the next day and the next day and the next day. But if we got excited and we went to the world instead of to God, there might be food on your table tomorrow, but the next day you're going to be hungry again, because the world can only fix things temporarily in our life. God fixes things permanently. And this is what promotes that spiritual growth. This is what helps us to see and to understand how great our relationship is with God, because now we're aligning our life with God's will. We're not following after the things of the world. So how do we do this? Where are we going to turn to look for this? Well, I'm going to take you back into Psalm, but there's many other scriptures in the Bible that you can go to look at. But I'm going to take you back to the 119th Psalm. And this is a very familiar scripture, but in the 119th Psalm, verses 105 and 106. And here's what it said. Here's where he looked. And here's where we look when we need to follow after and have a willful service to God. He says, thy word, the word of God that we are to be obedient to, the word of God that we are to understand, the word of God that we are to have wisdom and knowledge in. He said, it is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. And he said, I have sworn that I will perform it. Meaning, I went to the Lord. And the Lord said, here's where you need to be. You need to be through prayer, through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You need to be in the Word of God. We are not in the Word of God enough. We need to be, because it's the Word. It's the Word. Through the Word, God is giving us instruction. Through the Word, God is showing us the way. So he starts right here. He said, first of all, you got to find out thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Meaning, the word is going to show me where I am. Where am I in my life in Christ? And the word is going to show me that. And then the more that I dwell in the word, the more wisdom, knowledge, and instruction I get from God, then he says that word isn't just going to show me where I'm at, but it's going to light my pathway. It's going to show me the direction that God wants me to go. So he said, because of this, when I understand where I am, when I see the direction that you want me to go, then I'm going to commit to it. And if I commit to it, that means when I take the first step out of where you show me that I am, I'll take it in the direction of the pathway that you lit for me, the pathway that you showed me. He said, I'll commit to it, I'll perform it, and he said, I will keep. Now, if you want the lighted pathway to continue, then he says, I have to learn to keep the righteous judgments. I have to learn to begin to stay obedient to the word. So it would be like your flashlight running out of batteries. Do you stop and put new batteries in it? Or do you just fumble around and say, well, I can make it the rest of the way on my own? Most of the time as Christians, we just fumble around and say we can make it the rest of the way on our own. But God wants us to stay in that lighted pathway. He wants us to keep his righteous judgments. So when we look at our life and we see, we look that we accepted this free gift of grace from God. So that acceptance came with responsibilities. We accepted that. God sealed us with the indwelling Holy Spirit of promise, meaning that nobody can break that seal. And when we done that, then that was our verification to God of the things that we received. That was verified. And now so we made this commitment. So everybody was with me till right then. And now everybody's saying, I didn't make no commitment. Because if I made a commitment and a promise, then that means I have to follow it or I break it. Either way, I'm in trouble if I don't follow it. So everybody was with me till I said commitment. But we made this commitment to live according to the divine principles of God's word. And don't shake your head and say, no, I didn't make that commitment. Yes, you did make that commitment. When you accepted this, when God sealed you with his promise of the Holy Spirit, you accepted this commitment. And you accepted it, and when you accepted it, you said, yes, by my obedience, I will follow the commandments and the promises of your word. Now, where are we at on that? Well, we follow some of them, some of the time. We don't follow very many of them all the time. So, but we made that commitment, and we made that commitment. So see now, it's Lord, well, I had to break that commitment because this came up in my life, and that happened in my life, and we made that commitment no matter what comes up in our life. Doesn't matter the trials, the tribulations, the tests of our faith. Doesn't matter the temptations that you fall prey to. When the light shows you where you're at, and the light gives you the pathway to go, and God shortens up the light because we're not obeying or we're not following the commitment that we made, we don't walk on without the light. We stop and we say, Lord, what do I need to do in my life to make this commitment work? You know, when you in your marriage vows, it used to say, they don't say that anymore, that you would love, honor, cherish, and what? Obey. Well, we took that out because that's a thing of the past nowadays. Because nobody, you know, used to be a husband and wife, if something was going wrong, they got together and they say, okay, what do we need to do to fix this? Well, now what you need to do to fix it is go to a counselor who'll give you some kind of medication. That's really not fixing it. That's just making it tolerable. But anyhow, it's the same way. It's the same way with God. When these things come against us, instead of remaining loyal, we just want to follow what the easier pathway is. So we're standing here with the lamp unto my feet. The light into my path has faded because the choices that I make. So instead of going through and fixing that, I'm looking around for another light. And I can tell you, when you begin to look around for another light, the world will give you one. And that will be the easier pathway to take, because now, what did we say? The two choices that you had, in order to serve God, there had to be a willing commitment. In order to serve yourself, they didn't have to be no commitment at all. So when I see a light in the world, that's my easier pathway, and off I go. So where am I now in the Lord? I'm certainly not where God wants us to be, because I just followed the easier pathway of rebellion. So we've got to learn to depend upon God's strength. We got to learn to depend upon God's power, upon His might, upon His grace, upon His mercy. God provided this unto us through His Spirit. And once He provided that, once we were sealed with that indwelling Holy Spirit of promise, He never took the provision away. Now, we might not see it because we blinded ourselves to it, but God never took that provision away, because He's always there to keep us, to guide us, to fulfill us in His grace, to help us to carry out the promises and the commandments of His Word. Those things that we committed to, those things that we took the responsibility to do in our life, we adhere and to maintain those promises that He has given to us. Because every day, and especially the day that we stand before Him, I'm going back to the original scripture that we read. Every day, God wants us to have the strength and the power in our life to be able to proclaim the same thing that Christ did when He was praying in the garden, and that is, Lord, when it comes to the choices and the decisions in my life, what did Christ say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This is what having a willful service to God is all about. Is always doing the will of God in our life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, as we come before You this day, Lord, we're truly thankful. Thankful for the responsibility and the commitment that we made. Even though sometimes, Lord, we stray away from it in our life, we would pray that You would help us, Lord, and bring us back into the pathway that You would have us to go, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Lord, as we follow after Your light and follow after Your direction, the pathway that You would have us to go, Lord, that You would continue to strengthen us, Lord, that through Your grace and Your mercy, that we would strive for our relationship with You to grow stronger and stronger every day, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that we always have a willful service to You, Lord, Those things that glorify you, Heavenly Father. Those things that lift you up, Lord. Those things that we can be thankful for, those things that are going on in our life, Heavenly Father. And we just pray this day, Lord, that you would help us to follow those things in our life. We pray, Lord, as we leave this place today, that we would think about the things upcoming, Heavenly Father, that you have for in store for us to do, and that we would seek after those things with gladness in our heart, Heavenly Father, so that everything that we do in our life would be a joyous action or reaction to the things that you have for us, the things that you have in store for us, Lord, in the coming days. We just pray this day, Lord, that again you would forgive us where we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, that you would help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, a couple of announcements really quick. Saturday coming up. Now I want to explain these things. Saturday coming up is our fellowship lunch, and we're going to do it over at Big Isaac Community Church. So what this fellowship lunch is, let me explain this to everybody, even all of you that are out there listening online. It's for everybody. It don't matter where you go to church, what community you live, it's for everybody. And for the people that go to church, it's not a come and eat and run lunch. We are here to fellowship with the ones that come in out of the communities. So this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Reminds me, I'll tell you a short little story. Got invited to church somewhere one time. Invited time after time after time. Finally, we had a chance. We went, walked into church. They welcomed us, said something. We said, oh, so-and-so invited us. Who's that? Who is that? Do they go to church here? Well, I said, they must. They invited us. We don't want this fellowship lunch to be like that. So we want it to be fellowship. So come out and enjoy. It's from noon till 3 on Saturday. There'll be lots of good food, lots of good fellowship. Hey, any amens on that? Okay. Sunday. So here's what we're going to do Sunday. Sunday is the fifth Sunday, and we were going to have church, and they were going to have church. But what we're going to do is we're going to have church together. Because afterwards, there's going to be a baptism at 1:30. So Sunday, 10 o'clock, Sunday school, 11 o'clock, preaching over at Big Isaac Community Church. We're going to hang around. There may be, we talked about this, I don't know yet, there may be stuff left over from Saturday. We'll have something to eat, some refreshments. 1:30, we're going to have a baptism. And we do have some people that want to be baptized, and we pray that that still continues. And again, the baptism's not just for the two churches or the two communities. It can be anybody, anywhere. If you go to another church, you don't have a way to be baptized. If you want to come and be baptized, if you want your preacher to baptize you, we welcome that. Does everybody understand that? I know I can't see everybody online, so. All right, one more, and then we'll go. And I'm not going to call this Easter sunrise service because we don't do it at sunrise. We do it at 7 o'clock. But Easter Sunday morning, we will be having service. And after, so here's what we'll do. We're going to have service. We're going to have communion. I'll be taking care of those things. And then afterwards, we're going to have breakfast. So we want everybody to come, enjoy the service, participate in communion. We're going to have breakfast to follow. And then after that, now you don't have to stay if you don't want, but after that, they will go ahead and have Sunday school over at Big Isaac Church. So if you want to stay and join in with Sunday school, that'll be fine. Now, I'll throw this out there, and I haven't even told them that this to them yet, but so they're just now going to hear it. So I hope they don't run me off. I'll be taking care of Sunday school from the opening prayer to the closing prayer. I'm going to give everybody a break from teaching. I'll be taking care of Sunday school. Now, it's going to be a little different. And there's going to be lots of participation. I'm not going to teach and everybody sit back there and stare at me and listen. So there will be participation. So that'll be Easter Sunday morning. So come out. We want everybody to come out, enjoy themselves. Thursday evening, Bible study here. We are on the church at Philadelphia. We're about halfway through. I don't remember what verse. But we're on the church of Philadelphia, so come out, enjoy Bible study Thursday evening. Okay, anything else? Did y'all write that stuff down? Gigi will have it online, so look online to...
Question.
Okay.
A little confused on Easter. We have a church here or Big Isaac?
Big Isaac. 7 o'clock.
So we're having church next Sunday and the Sunday after that, Big Isaac?
Yes, yes. Since it's a fifth Sunday and we're going to do baptism, we'll just do everything over there and have baptism. Easter Sunday, we had sunrise service here last year. We're going to have it over there this year. 7 o'clock with Sunday school to follow. And Sunday school, probably it'll be a little bit earlier, so we want to get that out. It might get bumped up to like 9:30. I don't know how long it takes everybody to eat and clean up, but we'll try to have it immediately after so we're not stringing it out a long time. For breakfast, just do it like you would here. Yes. Any other questions? Did y'all understand? Okay. Everybody okay? Everybody good? All right. Let's all stand. We'll praise the Lord 3 times. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank y'all for joining in online.
Thank you,
David. All right, bye-bye.
That's all. Now I can hear.